Hi, and welcome to Film Forums. I'm Richard Williams, the creator of this platform, a place dedicated to the filmmaking community. We interview members of the film industry to find out what it really takes to make a movie, bring a script to screen, or secure that acting role. If that sounds good to you, please subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on your favorite podcasting platform so you can be the first to know when an episode drops. We'd really appreciate it if you'd like and share this if you get value from this episode. Thank you.
Welcome to Film Forums. My name is Aisha Jveli, and I have with me Tamala D'Amico. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name's Tamala D'Amico, as you said, and I am an actress, recording artist, and filmmaker.
Fantastic. So how did you get into acting?
I sort of was an odd child. Like in the States, a lot of kids watch Sesame Street and those kind of things, cartoons and whatnot, when they are just starting, or actually preschool. I didn't. I'm the youngest of five kids, and there's a great gap between myself and my siblings. And I think my mom was like holding on to me. So I didn't go to preschool and instead watched New York's Nostalgia Network, which is sort of like Turner Classic Movies. So I just had grown a great love of movies from that. I just had a natural propensity to get into acting. And then, of course, high school and then college, I went to film school and theater school at the same time, came out to California to pursue my career. Continued my schooling at the Strasbourg Actor Studio, and then just started working in the industry simultaneously while I was going to school. And that's pretty much it. I just had a great love of it. And my parents are very dream oriented. They said, like, reach for the stars. So when you're raised with that sort of mentality, you don't think it's not possible.
That's actually amazing, because most actors, obviously, when they say they want to be an actor, there's usually somebody close to them that's like, okay, well, what's going to be your real job, you know? What's your backup?
Yeah.
So I think it's really good that you had that. You had that strong encouragement from a really early age, it sounds like, as well. You did a lot of training and things like that.
I made the choice to sort of double major. You can only have a major, but I took a minor in theater just because the film school was such an intense program. They only accept 16 students from all over the world per year. So it was actually the greatest, most realistic experience of what Hollywood is. In Hollywood, you do a movie, you get thrown into a group of people that are from all over the world and have different modes of working, and you have to adapt. So the school pretty much set us up for a studio system, kind of, in a way, because again, students from all over the world, different ages, not everyone was the same age. And the state was our studio that funded the film. So we were responsible to the state of Florida to actually create product.
Would that be the route that you would recommend then to young aspiring actors, to go and get some real solid training behind them?
I believe that people are innately talented, and then there's also craft. And some people can come up just through craft and do fine in a career. But beyond that, you have to have drive and action and have such a passion and willingness to be completely vulnerable and naked and also broke at times, because a career goes like this, no matter who you are. Anytime, you know, you see an A-list actor and they're like, oh, I'm just looking at scripts right now. It's like, yeah, you're looking for a job. You know what I mean? It's a freelance business. Everyone's always looking for a job. There's no guarantees for anyone, not even Julia Roberts. You know what I mean? There's no guarantees. If you have to question whether or not you need to be an actor or a filmmaker or a creative person in general, don't do it.
So have you done anything behind the camera as well?
Several things, yeah. We actually have a web series called Sex of the Series that was one of the first to really like take off on YouTube. We have over 150 million views. The cast is just riddled with amazing people. Joanna Cassidy, who people would know from Blade Runner, Matt Barr, who's in a million TV shows, Angela Sarafian, who's on Westworld. I mean, it's just like a who's who of TV. And I just sort of, when we were casting, we just really lucked out that we chose the right people, not knowing that their careers would explode. So that was something that actually turned out to be quite successful. Beyond that, I've done a number of short films, and I'm in pre-production for a few indie features, low-budget indie features. One is an Asian rom-com that will go next year. I've actually got sort of known as a film director in town because I had done this short film called Volare, which is based on my father's experience coming from Sicily. I had written this project like a million times from the time I was 16 forward, and then I did a script for it and shot it at Paramount Studios. And the whole time I was shooting, I was like, Steven Spielberg is going to see this movie. eventually his team did. And I was asked to be on this show called On the Lot that was searching for the next best director. And it was done by Steven Spielberg and Mark Burnett, who does all of those reality TV game shows. And that has afforded me so many open doors, you would not believe it. So from there, then I did a number of other shorts and web serials and then sex ed. And in addition, I've become a social influencer and a content creator for brands, which this year was completely necessary because we're all inside. And it's like, how can you work as an actor or a filmmaker without just working from home? So I am super grateful for having that fan base that gave me a social media fan base. And my just people always ask, like, how did you become a social influencer or a content creator for brands? I'm like, it happened by default. It wasn't anything I had sought out. I've always been a self-promoter and a genuine networker in a real way. Because I had been on this Disney Channel TV show, I had just gained fans. So my social media numbers blew up. In addition to my music, like I said, I've got like three arms to my career, recording artist, actress, and filmmaker. So I'm a jazz recording artist. So I already had those fans. And then the On the Lot fans, I had a faction of filmmakers. So the numbers on my social media were doing so well, brands started contacting me to do posts for them. So I primarily lead in the eco-conscious brands to work with. Like if somebody is fair trade or owned by a woman or is good for the earth, I tend to lean that way or very known brands that I actually believe in just to have integrity. Because the moment you lose integrity as a content creator, it's over for you. That has like all of my career sort of forged together this year. And it's been so like such a blessing because I don't know what I would have done in a pandemic working from home without that.
So do you want to tell us a little bit about One Little Finger? Tell us, you know, how that came about. How did you get that role?
It's such a weird, odd story. I had been offered a number of Indian films, not a large number, but two prior to this one. And my reps were like, no way, you're not going there. We don't understand the infrastructure. We don't know these people. And the second one that I was offered actually had went to Cannes. So I was like, oh, I should have done that, you know, and I was sort of upset about it. And then cut to 2 years later, I'm at Lake Shrine, which is near Malibu with a friend. And we were just being silly. It's a gorgeous place that has like Japanese gardens. People go there to meditate. And I was like, let's go down by the Swan Lake and meditate. So we did. And I had like this very serious kind of meditation moment. And I had this flash of India. And I turned to my friend Jordan and I'm like, Jordan, I think I'm going to go to India. And he like opened one little eye and he's like, it's already happening. It was like a weird joke moment. And then 2 weeks later, I got this movie and I read the script and it was so beautiful. And I thought like, how can I not do this movie? And I had my lawyers and my agents, like we vetted everyone who had been to India. We had vetted the director who actually he had known of me from the Grammy Foundation. Mm-hmm. And he's a music artist as well. And this film has amazing musicians on it. Quincy Jones, Syeda Garrett, who actually is in the movie. She also wrote Man in the Mirror for Michael Jackson. So many amazing people were attached to do this film. And basically, I play a character named Raina, who's an American neurologist who uproots her life in America to study her ideas about music therapy. And she brings her ideas to a disability institute there. Finds herself teaching children and adults with disabilities. And by bringing them together through music and inspiration and whatnot, she realizes, like, you know, there is ability in disability. Anyone can overcome their challenges, right? It was a remarkable experience for me because as I was going through, you know, the process of filming and my characters taking on this journey, I was taking on the same journey as a person. I'd never been to India before. Everything I was experiencing was very, very real. We opened in Cannes and then it's gone on to like so many film festivals. It's won all these laurels and it's just super important because I think what's depicted in the film is things that have not been seen. Like we have 80 people with disabilities who act in this movie or are part of the movie. Not all of them are actors. It's just a remarkable experience. And I think at any point, someone in your life can become disabled, even you. You know, like this past year, my dad was diagnosed with Parkinson's. And now we have to think about things like, where is the ramp in this building for the wheelchair? So in the film, you see actors actually go through their daily life of what that means. You know, when somebody has cerebral palsy, what is their day like? And I think the message that we're trying to promote is, you know, it's not just a film, it's a movement, and there's ability and disability, and everyone should really learn about inclusion and people first language, which, you know, states what a person, like who a person is, not what they have. So this is my sister, she's the nurse. Oh, she also happens to have cerebral palsy. You know, you don't lead with she's has cerebral palsy. I think people will be affected by it. We're hoping that eventually this will be taken to schools and be used as a learning tool as well.
It sounds like an absolutely beautiful story, and what a character to play in it as well. Absolutely amazing. Where exactly in India were you filming?
Okay, so I was filming in Assam, which is basically like where all the black tea in the world comes from, which was amazing. We get to shoot in the tea gardens.
Were you up north? Is that north India?
Yeah, so it's up north. It sort of borders Pakistan. And then we filmed also in Calcutta. The funny part was the government was like, why are you going to Assam? Like, they didn't believe I was actually shooting there because it's so close to the Pakistan border where we were going that they were like, this sounds lofty, you know? So I didn't have my passport secured until the day before my flight. It was very, very, yeah, it was nerve-wracking. When you're there, you're automatically thrown into this National Geographic moment where I'm like in someone's mud home. I was like, this is a surreal experience. I'll never have this experience again. It was just sort of life-altering.
Did you experience any culture shock or anything like that? Did you assimilate quite easily?
Like I said, we had vetted 20 different Americans who had gone to India. What was your experience? And everyone said the same thing, like, don't drink the water, right? Nobody gave me practical knowledge, like where we were filming in some parts. You know, the water system is fairly new. And those people have never traveled to America before, so they had no frame of reference. So they would be like, okay, here is your bucket and your little pint thing. Yeah. And I was like, am I supposed to wash my own clothes? I was like, what is this about? So I didn't know what that was about. I just put it in the corner of the room. Mm-hmm. And for 2 weeks, I took cold showers because I didn't understand how to turn on the hot water heater. And I kept saying, like, there's no hot water here. And they were like, no, madam, there's hot water. But like I said, they had no frame of reference for me to tell me, like, for me, in America, we've got hot water. You just turn the tap, you know? So I had to learn all those things from an American woman's blog, which I'm so grateful for. But it was after 2 weeks of searching. Mm-hmm. And this one girl who actually came from her Twitter profile, she was like, if you're in India, these are the things you need to know that no one will tell you. And I was super, super grateful. And after that, it was like everything was fine. But beyond that, yeah, the culture shock, everyone is so lovely. I feel like India needs a publicist. Americans don't know enough about India. I think they only know about, you know, the Indian people come here and then stereotypes happen and all that stuff. But what a loving and beautiful group of people I got to be surrounded with.
They're so hospitable.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. I mean, someone would be passing by the home where we were and they'd be like, please come in, have some tea. You know, it was like we had tea like 8 times a day. It was always warm and welcoming and nobody was a stranger and just really surrounded by so much love and light. And what's interesting, like there's a great disparity of wealth and poverty. It doesn't matter where you fall in the socioeconomic scale. They have such faith and such hope and such joy all the time that when I came home, I was like, wow, Americans got to really get it together.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone, the majority of America is, you know, on some sort of antidepressant. And I'm like, we just don't really realize how good we have it. Mm-hmm. And it's just so foreign to people that, yeah, it would be like, oh, great. But I want to just clarify, I completely recognize that I had a unique world experience because I went over there as an actor. You know, I was treated like royalty. My experience is not going to be the average American's experience, but the people are just lovely, and especially the people that I encountered. But yes, of course, as with all countries, there are specific dangers that exist. There's a lot of human trafficking. We went to Calcutta, and just when we went to the Mother Teresa house, I mean, I saw things. It was unimaginable to me, you know, what was happening in the city. And that was literally like the last day before I left. And also, you know, you start your journey in India where you're like, India has a pink sun and it's magical. And then by the end, you're like, oh, the sun looks pink because of the pollution. But it still was magical. What a fantastic experience. And like I said, likely that I will not have a filming experience like that specifically again.
Yeah, I totally understand that. So you were saying that you're getting full distribution for this film. And you said it'll be available everywhere.
It's OTT platform, which means over-the-top streaming. So that's Amazon, Apple, Vudu, Google, like wherever you can rent a movie. So I think it's everything except for Netflix.
And just a last couple of words from you. What would be your advice to someone, you know, who's coming into the creative world, be it, you know, writing, directing or acting, obviously, or music, because you do it all. what would you say to them? What would be your best piece of advice?
Sort of what we were touching on before, like if you don't have a great passion or willingness to be 100% yourself and naked and vulnerable, maybe go into something else. But if you have that, you just have to do it and you just have to create any way that you can. And unabashedly, like even if someone, you know, when my music career started, I had a lot of people in my ear telling me to go different paths. And I was like, I hear you, I will do that. But my heart is in jazz. It may not be the most, you know, lucrative path, but that's my heart. And I can see myself doing that till I die. So you sort of have to trust your gut a little bit and also know like that's in you. And if that's what's bringing you joy, it's the only thing that's ever going to make you happy. So you just have to, you know, push forward. Obviously, people have survival jobs and things like that, but there's a way of turning your survival job into, especially now, like I said, as being a content creator, there's a way to exist and where you get the joy of both worlds.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time.